is seeing. Seeing is believing, we say, but in the logic of the Gospel of John, it works the other way around. Believing is seeing. It is true Peter and John did not believe Jesus had risen from the dead until they entered the tomb and saw the abandoned grave clothes. It is also true Mary Magdalene and 10 of the disciples were permitted to see the risen Lord. But was this a privilege all disciples should have? Thomas seemed to think so. He wanted the same experience the other disciples had, or an even greater one. Not only to see the wounds of Jesus, but to touch them. Otherwise, said he, I will not, not I cannot, but I will not believe. Jesus gave his blessing to Thomas, but he promised an even greater blessing to those who have not seen and yet believe. That promise echoes down the generations to embrace all of us who do not have the luxury of seeing and touching the wounds of Jesus, but who are willing to believe in him and commit ourselves to his way. As 1 Peter 1:8 says, without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. The story of Thomas reminds us of the two men walking to Emmaus who were joined by the risen Lord. Even though they walked and talked with Jesus for some time, they did not recognize him. Jesus later said they were foolish and slow of heart to believe what the scriptures had taught. But when they sat together at the table and Jesus broke and blessed the bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And on communion, him says, here, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Here would I touch and handle things unseen. In our breaking of the bread, we do not really see Jesus face to face, but we know his presence is among us. Perhaps we see him face to face. But that's enough. Let us partake of this bread. Let us partake of this juice. scripture here
through verse 22 in the King James. Hebrews chapter 10 in your New Testament, the New Covenant. I'm going to preach a word to you today. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should not have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. I want to tell you something today. If every time you go to the prayer closet and your old sins are brought up to your mind, you may just be living shy of the potential that God has opened up through Jesus Christ on Calvary. They remember their sins every year. Let me just say today that if you're battling in your mind and battling in your prayer closet and you don't seem to be able to shake off the sins of the past, you may not be living in the power that Jesus released on Calvary. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, everybody say Jesus. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. I just want to say, if you, every time you go to the prayer closet, every time you come to church, everything that you try, that you have been trying to do to get shut and to shuck the sins and the chains of the past, but it seems like every time you try, it doesn't seem to get any better. You may not have tapped in to what we can tap into through the blood that was shed by Jesus on Calvary.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Because when Jesus touches you with his blood, you will be delivered from your sins.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And your evil conscience will be cleansed. Hallelujah. And you will be set free.
Thank you.
Yes. But this man, verse 12, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Everybody say boldness. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. purchased by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, and that is to say, his flesh. Hallelujah. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. I want to preach for just a few minutes, as quickly as I can get through the material that is in my heart to share with you today. The title of this message is Stuck at the Altar. Lord Jesus, we ask in you together as a church right now that you would speak to us, oh God. Oh Lord, Moses came to you by the Red Sea, oh God, and he complained that the people cried out, "What shall we do?" But you said to Moses, "Why are you crying to me? Tell the people, go forward." And you are calling the Jesus name Pentecostal church to move forward in the spiritual realm, to step into holy places that they have never been in before. Not because we are worthy, but because it is our right in Jesus Christ our Savior. Because he was the form, he was the firstborn, he opened up that new and living way. And I pray, oh God, that someone in this house that is stuck at the altar in remembrance of their failures and mistakes and sins, I pray, oh God, that you would break them loose from the horns of the altar today, and that you would direct them, hallelujah, beyond the In the name of Jesus, we pray and we give glory to our God. In the Old Testament church, the people were stuck at the altar. God gave Moses a plan to build a giant tent in the wilderness, in the deserts where they traveled, in the desolate places, amongst the hills and into the deserts and by the oases, and the tent was to be built a certain way and covered up, and inside of it was furniture, and there was a table of showbread where a loaf of bread for all 12 tribes of Israel was baked every day, and there was a golden candlestick with seven flames upon it, one in the middle and three on each side, and the oil would go down through it and feed all of the flames, and it was to be kept burning continually. And then at the head of the key in the tent, on the other side opposite the door, was called the altar of incense. And there the priests would go, and they would go to these places and sprinkle the blood of sacrifices, and they would burn incense there. And then there was a veil in the tent rear, right there in front of the altar of incense, and no one was allowed to go into that place. It was called the most holy place. No one was allowed to go into that room. Anyone that stepped into that room, unbidden and without the appropriate rituals to perform, would immediately be stricken dead by God. And the Bible says when David tried to bring the altar up, bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, that a priest, a young priest boy named Uzzah, that he reached out to steady the Ark because it was shaking on the cart. And when he reached his hand out to steady the ark, he had good intentions. He was instantly struck dead by the power of God. The Philistines defeated Saul and Jonathan in battle, and they captured the Ark of the Covenant, and they brought it into the house of their God. And the Bible says they put it in the house of their God, Dagon, or whatever his name was. And when they came in the morning, the statue of Dagon had fell over on his face. And they took the statue and stood it back up. And when they came back the next morning, it fell on its face again. And the head and the arms were broken off of it. And God struck the city of the Philistines with a sore disease and sickness. The women's wombs were shut up. Their babies began to miscarry. The men were stricken with tumors in their private places. And thousands and tens of thousands of people were being killed by the power and the holiness of God. Let me tell you something. Nobody was allowed to go there except for one man called the high priest. And he was only allowed in there one time a year. And on top of that, when you step outside of the tent, there was a laver of water, a basin of water. Water was poured, and it was made out of brass, and it was polished and buffed to the point where you could see your face in it like a mirror. And the priests would go there. They weren't even allowed into that tent until they had washed the dirt off of their bodies and washed the speckles of blood off of them. They had to wear certain kinds of clothes, and only the priests were allowed to touch that water. And then there, as you back up a little bit further, there was a courtyard built all the way around the tent. And there at the entrance to the courtyard, there was an altar. And the Bible says it had four horns on each side. And they would take the animals and they would strap them down with ropes or whatever. And they would kill them and burn them and do all of the ritual sacrifices. And the only place that the Israelites were allowed to go was to the altar in the courtyard. And there they would bring their doves, and there they would bring their lambs and their goats and their oxen. There they would bring their cakes of bread and their little bottles or vessels of oil and wine. And they would come to the altar and they would hand their offerings to the priests. And the priests would then offer their offerings on the altar. And they would turn around and walk back out of that courtyard the way they went in, because none of those sacrifices could possibly erase the stain of sin upon humanity and upon their souls. And they, as a people, were stuck at the altar. But I want to tell you something today. I told it to you last week, and God has bid me to tell it to you again today, because some of us haven't quite got it in our minds. Some of us haven't quite experienced it in our spirit. And I don't mean to yell so loud and to be in such a way to make you feel scared today. But when Jesus died on Calvary, He opened up a door that had been shut for thousands of years. The people who were ever allowed past the altar, Jesus walked past the altar as He sprinkled His blood. He walked past the laver of water. He walked past the table of showbread. And He walked past the golden candlesticks that were supposed to be burning. He walked past the altar of incense, and He reached His hands and He tore the curtain apart that hindered anybody but the high priest from going into that most holy place once a year. And there Jesus applied His blood, and He said, "Now that I have been here, a man, a human, flesh and blood, now that I have shed my blood and sprinkled it here, you no longer have to stay at the altar, but anybody that wants to can come and drink of the waters of my freedom. Anybody can come to this most holy place." Sometimes we, as Christian believers, Lord gave me this message back before Brother Rob Rory came to be with us, and then we launched off into our Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep sermon series. How many of you enjoyed our Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep sermon series? I'd like to go back and preach that over again. That was a high point for me this year. I enjoyed every minute of that. But the Lord laid this on my heart. We, as modern day Christians, we worship the nation of Israel. We promote them and on our Facebook pages, and we try to promote them, and we get angry and all of this stuff over the nation of Israel, and we go on and on. And sometimes we, as modern day Christian, Judeo-Christian believers, we are just as stuck at the altar of the old Judaic Mosaic rituals and systems as the Jews in modern day Israel are still. The Bible says the veil is still on their hearts. They still don't get it. They still don't understand that Jesus' blood changed everything. I'm here to tell somebody in the house of God today, you don't have to stay at the altar any longer. But Jesus' blood changed everything. And it's by the perfect blood that Jesus shed on Calvary that every single one of your sins, every single stain upon your soul can be cleansed and washed away. And Jesus doesn't just wash the stain of sin from our souls, but He releases us from the grip and the power of the chains that bound us. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't just come to make you look pretty, but He came to make you powerful. He came to change you. Jesus that can take a worst sinner, that can take a worst drug addict. We serve a Jesus that can take the angriest, most abusive man. We serve a Jesus that can take the most sensual and immoral woman in our society, and with a little application of His blood to their souls, He can release them from a lifetime of sin, debauchery. He can break the chains off of their soul and mind and set them free.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, glory. And so what do we need to do? We need to put one foot in front of the other, and we need to enter in. The problem with the church is it's stuck at the altar. Lord, I sinned again. Don't you think He knows that?
Right.
You might as well just get up in the morning and pray that first thing.
Right.
Lord, I sinned again. And Lord, You know I'm going to sin again. But I'm not walking in my holiness. I'm walking in Your holiness.
Yeah,
Lord, I don't even deserve to be breathing right now.
Right.
And I know that I'm going to make mistakes. But Jesus, would You cover me? Would You get my back? Would You cover me in Your blood? God, when I make my mistakes, oh Lord, don't let me stand at an altar and sit there and cry and weep and moan all day and never take advantage of the open door that's sitting in front of me. The Bible says He's the one in the book of Revelation that has the keys, and when He opens it, nobody can shut it. And when Jesus opened the way to the holy place, it has been open ever since. The Bible says that we should draw near, even with a heart, a real and genuine, sincere heart, fully assured, no, I'm not worthy, but Jesus is worthy. No, I don't deserve it, but Jesus made me able, and He has given me a privilege, and we need to take advantage of the privileges that Jesus has given to us.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You notice the Apostle Paul doesn't say, he doesn't say, come boldly before the altar.
No, he didn't.
He says, come boldly before the throne of grace. There are too many Christians that are stuck at the altar, stuck trying to make sacrifices, stuck trying to perform rituals and things, but Jesus has taken care of all of that.
Yeah.
He makes it so easy. He said, just say you're sorry. Just repent of your sins. Just get it in your mind, you need me and nothing else. And then get baptized in my name. Take my name on you. Identify yourself by humbling yourself in the waters of baptism. By laying your old life down in those waters and burying yourself there out of obedience in my name. And let me raise you up a new individual. And then this is what I will do if you'll shed a couple of tears. And if you'll get yourself wet and look kind of funky there for a minute, ladies, your face, the hairstyles. And if you'll just do this little embarrassing things that I'm asking you to do, this is what I will do. I will fill you with power from on high.
Yeah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
And the purpose of my power is so that the love of God can be shed abroad in my heart.
Yeah.
I don't care where you've been or where you've come from. I'm here to tell you, when the Holy Ghost stirs love inside of you, you will love people that you didn't think anybody could love, let alone you. You'll be able to take things and deal with things. Why? Because a dead person doesn't care what anybody says. A dead person doesn't care what anybody thinks. A dead person is dead, and they are dead to this world. And our challenge as believers is to crucify the flesh. But in order to do that, we've got to have power. In order to do that, we need grace and favor. In order to do that, we need some mercy. And so Paul said, you come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find help in the time of your need. Go sit and suffer at the altar. Because if you stay there long enough, your sins will destroy you. Because Jesus isn't at the altar. He's sitting on the throne. Let's stand together right now and give Jesus a praise. Let's give Jesus a praise. Sounds too simple. That may be the problem. Maybe if we made it a little bit harder, and maybe if we made it a little bit harder, you'd be more motivated. Maybe if we'd ask you to pay a little bit more, maybe if it cost you something more, it'd mean more to you. I don't understand it. Sometimes we make it so hard. We make it so difficult when all you need to do is come before that throne and say, Jesus, I need you now. I can't do this. These kids are driving me crazy. And you know what the Lord Jesus will do? He'll give you grace. Hallelujah. God, I can't get along with that man. He drives me crazy. You need to go to the throne. And God will give you grace. I was in the dwelling in the corner of an attic in a large house with a quarreling wife. God, I can't get along with that woman. You need to go to the throne of grace. Jesus will meet your need. God, I'm battling with this thought. God, I'm battling with these feelings. God, my carnality is getting the best of me. I feel the past trying to drag me. You need to go to the throne of grace. Don't stop at the altar, because there's no longer a fire burning. Don't stop and eat that old stale bread on the table, because nobody's replacing that bread anymore, because we now have access to the living bread of life.
Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Follow the smell of the baking bread. Hallelujah. Find your way to the throne room and partake of the wonderful favor of God.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And what the Lord does is He cleanses our guilty conscience. He cleanses our guilty conscience. He cleanses our guilty conscience. He removes the power of those memories, and God Himself chooses to no longer remember your sins. If God can forget them, ask Him to give you grace to do the same thing. You said, but you don't understand. Every time I try to forget, somebody brings it up. So what's your problem? Every time somebody brings it up, every time the devil brings it up, go back to the throne of grace. Get the favor and the mercy you need for that moment. If you have to go there 10 times, if you have to drive down to the church and use a whole tank of gas in a weekend, driving back and forth to the church, you know, some days it's just like that. It's just one thing right after another. And don't think you're the only person out there that goes through that. Everybody does. But the difference between those that are stuck at the altar and those that have found the new and living pathway is that those that are stuck at the altar, they seem to just keep piling up and piling up and piling up and piling up. And this is what happens to us a lot of times. We come to an altar in our church. We lay our sins down on the altar. And then we pray. We pick up our sins and take them back with us. That's not the Jesus that we serve.
Hallelujah.
What you do is you lay down your sins on the altar, and then over here you pick up the mercy and the favor and the forgiveness that Jesus puts there for you to put in its place. Let's just talk to the Lord right now. Stacy's going to sing this song. And I want you to consider these words today. It's time for us to upgrade our theology. It's time for us to upgrade our spiritual understanding. It's time for us to begin to move into the blessings and the favor and the power of God that Jesus shed His blood for. It's time for us to take advantage of the rights and the privileges that Jesus had paid for. It's time to enter in to the holy place. Would you enter in right now? In your mind, in your spirit, in your heart.